invite you to turn out, pull out your bookmarks as we speak responsively the fourth and fifth petitions this morning. The fourth petition is, give us this day our daily bread. What does this mean? God certainly gives daily bread to everyone without our prayers, even to all evil people. But we pray in this petition that God would lead us to realize this and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. What is meant by daily bread? Daily bread includes everything that has to do with the support and needs of the body, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, land, animals, money, goods, a devout husband or wife, devout children, devout workers, devout and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, self-control, good reputation, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the fifth petition, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. What does this mean? We pray in this petition that our Father in heaven would not look at our sins or deny our prayer because of them. We are neither worthy of the things for which we pray, nor have we deserved them, but we ask that he would give them all to us by grace. For we daily sin much, and sure we deserve nothing but punishment. So we too will sincerely forgive and gladly do good to those who sin against us. Grace, mercy, and peace are now yours from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ. So last week, Pastor James preached on the second and third petitions. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And as he pointed out, these are two difficult prayers because often God's will and God's kingdom don't always line up with my will and my kingdom. And that's one reason Jesus has us pray it, thy kingdom and thy will be done, because you don't want my kingdom and my will to be done. And I, no offense, don't want your kingdom and your will to be done over God's either. But today we turn to two more difficult prayers. They shouldn't be difficult. They're the perfect prayers for us, for our children, for our churches, our community, for our schools, for everyone. Because they're taught by the one perfect Son of God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And yet we struggle with these prayers. We unknowingly struggle with these prayers. You see, we love to pray the Lord's Prayer. At any funeral or wedding, when I start saying the Lord's Prayer, everyone joins in. If I'm at a hospital bed, and there are people in the room who have never been there, or never been to church in a while, or if the nurse or doctor walks in, and even they will stop and join in with the Lord's Prayer. Doesn't matter what denomination. Everybody loves the Lord's Prayer. But when we really stop and consider what we're praying for, the question I have today is, do we really want to pray this? This week, the fourth and fifth petitions. Give us this day our daily bread. What is daily bread? Martin Luther rightly points out, as we just read, daily bread refers to everything that has to do to support the needs of our bodies, our life, such as food, drink, house, home, shelter, you know, ox and donkey. I don't have an ox or a donkey. I have a car and a dog. I joked with my kids that I was going to bring Trooper to church this morning to illustrate my daily bread, because I don't have an ox or a donkey. They were disappointed when I was kidding. Because if I brought Trooper, the first thing he would do is, you know, and then I'd have to clean it up. And I bring it up not to make light of this petition, but to make the point that daily bread is that which God provides for everything. Even your dog, your cat, your turtle. God provides so much daily bread because he's so great. And that's how much he loves you. And we would do well to stop and consider even our dog as a wonderful gift to support my body and my life. So why does Jesus have us pray this petition? Well, as Luther points out, God gives all people their daily bread, even the evil people who live in the world. And Jesus reminded his disciples of this. God makes it rain on the evil farmer's land, just as he makes it rain on the righteous farmer's land. He makes the corn grow up of the evil farmer's land, just as he does the righteous farmer's land. And so praying this prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread," does not make God give it to you. When you pray this, it's not like God gets off his big chair in the sky and then gives you what you want or what you need. He gives it to you without even asking for it. That's how amazing God, our Heavenly Father, is for us. Now the problem, though, with us, especially Americans, I believe, is that we have so much daily bread. So much that we can't comprehend daily bread. Jesus, after all, taught us to pray for daily bread, not lifelong bread in one day. I think that's what we desire. We want all of our bread for the whole life in one day. You know, like the prodigal son who asked for his inheritance in one day. I think we as Americans, I myself, feel sometimes entitled to the good life all the time. I don't know too many people in this country who actually wonder where they're going to get clean water to drink or food to eat, shelter, protection from pirates, raiders, terrorists. That's not to say that we don't have problems, not to say that we don't have poverty or poor people in this country. But the poorest person could walk into this church and get a big gulp of clean water and a meal, guarantee it. In some parts of the world, that is not even an option. There is no church to walk into, no building to walk into where people have things they can give you. But Jesus teaches us to pray for daily bread, and yet we take it for granted so often. Does Jesus mean to intend that we should not save for retirement or not save for the rainy day or not buy the new car? No, I'm not suggesting that. But we pray in this petition, Luther writes, that God, our Heavenly Father, would lead us, especially us Americans who have a lot of daily bread, to realize that all we have to support our body and life is from God. No matter how hard you earned it, you didn't earn it really. Yeah, you worked hard. Yeah, you earned it in one sense. But it's all God's. And it's all because of God that you got it. All of it. My house, my wife and kids, my food, my clothes, my mind, my health, my friends, my family, the couch I sit and read my Bible on, the TV I watch the Michigan football games on, the good weather, the protection from the bad weather. We had a possibility of tornadoes coming this past Wednesday, but they didn't come. My cell phone, my toothbrush. Think about life if you didn't have a toothbrush. It would be different. My comb, heat, air conditioning, clean water, my garden, my lawnmower, my snow shovel, and Trooper, my dog. All gifts from God to support my body and my life. And so we pray in this petition, Luther writes, so that God leads us to realize that all these gifts are from Him. And as we do, we're led by God's Spirit to give thanks. That's the second part. Realize and recognize they're all from God. And second, to give thanks to Him for all these wonderful gifts. When things are good, and when we as Americans actually have to live praying for daily bread when things aren't so good. When we realize all is from God, and we are led to be thankful always in good times and bad to the giver of all good things, then, and really only then, can we have peace and contentment. Not in what we have or what we don't have, but in the one who gives the daily bread. For as Jesus promised, you have nothing to worry about. Nothing. Don't worry about anything that has to do with this daily life, your body. Because if the birds don't sow and reap, and yet God feeds them every single day, if the lilies of the field are dressed so beautiful, more beautiful than even Solomon, the richest person in the world, and they're here one day and gone tomorrow, how much more does your Heavenly Father love you than the birds or the lilies of the field? And so we find contentment and peace, not in what we have, but in the one who has us in his hands, our Creator. And then, when we have that peace and contentment and trust in the one who gives us our daily bread, then we are ready to find joy in sharing with those who actually are in need, who actually need their daily bread. Because we know that when we do so, we're simply allowing God's hands to be our hands. Sometimes people get their daily bread from your hand, from my hand. Forgive us our sins. The fifth petition. What does this mean? We pray in this petition that our Heavenly Father would not look upon our sins, Luther says, nor deny our prayers because of them. We acknowledge when we pray this petition that we are not worthy to have any of our prayers answered by God. Not a single one. I don't have a prayer, the cliche goes, and that's true. When we stand before God in his complete holy perfectness on our own merits, we have no prayer. That's us on our own. But when we pray, Father, forgive us our sins, we're praying for grace. Undeserved, unmerited love and mercy. Forgive us and hear us and answer us, O my Father, even though I don't deserve an ounce of your pity, a grain of your mercy, a speck of your love, a crumb of your compassion. Still, give it to me. Forgive me. Love me. Forgive us our sins, Jesus teaches us to pray. And we pray with boldness, knowing the outcome, our sins will be forgiven. Not with an ounce, not with a grain or a speck or a crumb of God's love, but with his Son shedding his blood and dying for you and me. How do we know that our sins are forgiven? Jesus spoke it, and it was so. Father, forgive them, Jesus prayed, even the soldiers, even the Pharisees who put him on the cross, even Saul, terrorizing Saul, the first century terrorist who was killing all the Christians, who became Paul. Through a word of forgiveness. And he writes, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Forgive us our sins, Jesus taught us to pray, and we pray boldly knowing the outcome. Jesus spoke it, and it is. Even the worst of sins, even the many, and the multitude of sins, even your sins and mine, forgiven. A double portion of God's love, the prophet Isaiah says. Two handfuls, two fistfuls of God's mercy. And he's got big hands. He's got big fists with lots of love and mercy. You're clean. You're free. You're prepared for resurrection. Think about that. You are prepared for life everlasting because of his hands shed and bled for you. That's forgiveness. That's life-changing forgiveness, making the dead come alive. It is finished, Jesus spoke, and it is so. It's a freeing word. It's an empowering word, a word that wants you, that begs you, that compels you to go on a mountain. Go tell it on a mountain. And make sure everybody has this kind of freedom, this kind of power for their life, this kind of forgiveness. And so we pray as Jesus taught, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And that is the hard part, isn't it? And that's why we pray it. That's why Jesus has us pray his words, not ours. We pray never on our own, but we pray from Jesus, with Jesus, into our hearts, out of our lips, back to Jesus so he can make this prayer happen. All things are possible with Jesus. This prayer is not possible for any of us without Jesus. We cannot begin to forgive as Jesus forgives. Our hearts are so hardened when people hurt us, when people talk bad about us, when they lie about us, when they steal from us, when they take advantage of us, when they divorce us, when they commit senseless acts of terror against us. We, by nature, want revenge. So when God provides our daily bread of protection and justice through the proper channels of how he designed that, to those who break the law, to those who commit heinous crimes, it is not yet finished. We still pray as Jesus teaches, because he's the one who taught. Forgive us as we forgive those who sin against us. All of those who sin against us, not just ones who sin in little ways against us. When Jesus was nailed to a cross and said, Father, forgive them, he didn't just mean those people or that person, especially not the Pharisees and the soldiers. That's not what he meant. Jesus, when he prayed, Father, forgive them, meant the whole world, even the Pharisees and the soldiers. And so Jesus teaches us to pray as he prayed. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. But we can't. We can't forgive as Jesus forgave, unconditionally, sacrificially, to those who would even kill us. We can't forgive as Jesus forgave. So why pray the prayer? That's exactly why we pray the prayer. Because Jesus can and Jesus does. He forgives not only us of our sins, but the whole world before they even ask for it. That's not fair, you say. No, it's not. Grace isn't fair. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While Paul was on the way to Damascus, ready to round up and kill more Christians, Christ forgave him. While you were dead in your trespasses, Christ made you alive by his forgiveness. You see, forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is not contingent upon feelings. Sometimes you don't feel like forgiving. Jesus didn't feel good on a cross. It's not because he felt good that he forgave. And yet, what did he say? Forgiveness is not a feeling. It's not contingent on feelings. Forgiveness is a power. It is a power. It's the only power in the universe that can change a Saul into a Paul. That can change the worst of the sinners into an apostle. That can change you and me from dead people into alive people for the resurrection and the life everlasting. Forgiveness from Jesus alone has the power to change. Change you and me from damned sinners into children of God. God desires all people to be saved, even you and me. And so we pray as Jesus taught. Father, forgive them. We pray as Jesus taught us, forgive us our sins as we forgive others their sins. No contingents, no conditions. We speak His words, not ours. Our forgiveness can't save anybody. His forgiveness saves everyone. His forgiveness transcends how I feel about a certain person or a certain situation. His words can save that person. His words and His forgiveness for us, even though we don't deserve it. His words and His forgiveness through us. For our spouses, for our children, for our parents, and for our siblings, for our cousins, and for our exes. You fill in the blank. For our bosses and our co-workers and our neighbors and our enemies. Yes, especially our enemies. Those we disagree with, those who even seek to kill us. We forgive, not because it feels good, not because it makes human logical sense, not because they deserve our forgiveness. We forgive for one reason only, because we are forgiven by Jesus. And so when I say in my heart and I say with my lips, I just can't forgive that person for that, then this prayer that Jesus taught, that Jesus spoke, becomes even more powerful. As Jesus Himself prays this prayer for me. When I'm too weak, He's not. He speaks it by His Spirit for me, through you, to me. And something amazing happens when I say, I just can't do it. Jesus can. And I'm changed again, forgiven again, made new again, made alive again by His words and His forgiveness. I may not feel it, but that's okay. I still may want justice. Wrongs made right, broken windows fixed, apologies uttered, sentences served, laws upheld. But regardless of how well justice is served, wrongs made right, brokenness made new, regardless of how well that happens, that kind of stuff, while it is a blessing and part of our daily bread, can never make dead people alive. But forgiveness can. And Jesus does. And thanks be to Jesus, who didn't leave me dead, but spoke a word of forgiveness to me. And now this dead man is going to live forever. In Jesus' name, amen.